You know what I'm saying? You're not really fully acting it. You're not living it out, really. It's not really showing that you really love the Lord. And I think about that, and I think when as I meet people, I talk with people, and I see that where they're kind of at with their faith. And I, you know, for me, I do a self-evaluation, and I've talked about this, where I do my own little pie chart in my life, where I want to make sure, for me, am I really loving the Lord with every aspect of my life? Am I really truly giving Him everything? And so we look at our pie chart in my life, and so I'll have, you know, you've got your finances, and you've got your time, and you've got work, you've got this, you've got family. And so for me, I do a self-evaluation all the time, and I'm like, I'm always praying, God, convict me. I want to make sure my pie chart all the way around is fully lining up with your word. I want to reflect that I love you. I want my life as I do. I love you. And I want every. But you know, have you ever gotten where you've gotten kind of a dry spot in your life spiritually and you kind of feel away from Him, even though He's right there? I hate that feeling. I don't like it. Okay? It's lonely. It's horrible. I don't like it. Okay? We all kind of get to those plots sometimes. And so for me, it's like, man, I want every area of His. I don't want to ever feel away from Him, even though He's right there, never leaves us, never forsakes us. But sometimes we get carried away with things. We get distracted with life. And so it's important that we're constantly looking at that and really evaluating, am I really lining my life up, every area, with the Word of God? You know, I think about this, and I think about with my relationship with my wife, and I, again, I've talked about this before. My relationship with my wife, I have to work at it with my relationship with my love for her. You know, we'll get into an argument, and I will start laughing and kind of smiling, and she'll be like, "What are you smiling at?" I was like, "Do you still love me?" And she's like, "Yeah, baby, I love you. I don't really like you at the moment, but I love you." Okay. Okay, good. As long as you still love me, we're good. All right? We'll work on the whole liking thing. As long as you love me, we're okay. But you know, that it takes work on my part in the relationship. My wife and I have a rule in our marriage, 777. It's a great rule. We really try for it. We don't always happen, but we try. Every 7 days, we have a date night. Every 7 weeks, we take a weekend, a night, where we get away from the kids, okay? Every 7 months, we have a little vacation to ourselves. Why we do that? Because I want to invest in my marriage. I want to invest in that relationship. I want to put the time in because I value that relationship because I love my wife, and I know she loves me. You know, it's the same concept with our relationship with the Lord is we've got to make sure we're getting that time in with the Lord. We're investing that time, right? Amen? Yes. And that's, you know, you talk about having that. My prayer is that we walk away today, and you walk away today, is that our prayer becomes even more like, God, increase my love capacity for you. And so how we do that is we spend more time with Him. And I say this all the time, and I will continue to preach this until I breathe my last breath, because it's important that we have a love relationship with the Lord. If you're not spending time with the Lord, how can you fall in love with the Lord? If you're not discovering more about Him, how can you fall even more in love with Him? It takes us diving into the Word of God, opening it up, to discover about Him. Because when we open that word up, we discover more about Him. Guess what happens? We fall in love with Him. Because we find out how good He is, how much He loves us. We find out about His grace and His mercies. Come on, amen. We discover more about Him. We fall in love with Him. And guess what happens when we fall in love with Him? We want to know more about Him. Guess what happens when I date my wife? I just get googly-eyed, man. We're sitting there at the dinner table, and I'm just like, oh, my gosh. Just talk to me. I just want to hear your voice. I love it. And the more I spend time with her, the more I fall in love with her. This year, we're 23 years, I think, right, honey? 23? Okay. I'm more in love with her today than I ever have been in my lifetime. But it's because I fall in love with her. I want to, because I want to get to know her. And it's my same relationship with her. I want to get to know God deeper. So I'm going to spend time with him. I'm going to get up early. Brandon, oh, I don't have time. Oh, that's hogwash. Don't give me those excuses. Get up earlier. Come on. Don't say that I don't have time garbage. Get up early. Turn the TV off. Put your phone down. Get with the Lord. You talk about wanting to fall in love with him. Oh, man. Well, Brandon, I got all kinds of problems. Well, the Lord didn't say focus on your problems. He said focus on me. Love the Lord your God. That's the first one. That's good. I don't care who you are. Lord, increase my love capacity for you. I want to love him with everything. Hallelujah. Number two, love your neighbor. Yeah, it's exactly right. It's, yeah, that's, yeah, yeah, you're exactly right. Sometimes it's challenging. Let's just be honest. You know, when you're driving down the freeway, I do a lot of driving, and so you're driving down the road, somebody come up behind you, and you're already, I'm not a slow driver. And somebody comes up behind me, and I'm like, I really don't want to get over because the traffic over here is kind of slow, but y'all riding my tail, I'm going to go ahead and get over. All right, whatever. And then they go up in front, right? And then they get, and then they start slowing down. What you slowing down for? Right? Right? It's hard to have that love, Lord. Take the wheel because I'm going to take it off and slap somebody with it. You're going to take this wheel. Do you know what I mean? But you know what? Who makes it look really easy? Dad. My dad makes it look so easy loving on people. He just makes it look like second nature. And I'm like, Lord, someday when I grow up, I want to be like him. He makes it look so easy. Because, you know, we're at the hospital. No joke, this has happened. Wednesday morning, early Tuesday morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. I stayed the night at the hotel with, or the it was not a hotel, Lord Jesus, the hospital. And it was Wednesday morning. And 5 o'clock, all this lady's been coming in every 4 hours, waking us both up, prodding and poking and doing whatever. Well, 5 o'clock in the morning, she comes in and she starts trying to draw some blood in his hand. And, of course, Dad, it really hurt Dad. I mean, I saw him. He was and she's all poking and prodding. And I'm like, I'm about to get up, about to get up. And so she stops, and another lady comes in, kind of takes over, goes to the other hand, she's real sweet, loving, and she pokes, goes right in. It was great. But Dad's like, that's probably the most pain I've been in so far. That hurt so bad. That was really bad. Really, really bad. And of course, my flesh is, I'm like, yeah, that lady don't know what to do. She needs to retire. She don't even be doing it. She's old. She don't even be doing that. You know, and so here's my dad. Here's my dad. We walk out when we're leaving the hospital. The lady, one of the head nurses comes in and she's talking to Dad. And Dad's just like, oh, this was such a wonderful time. We just, oh, y'all were so good to us. And the little lady that came in throughout the night, she was so sweet. She was so good. And I'm like, you got a lot of love right there, Dad. I'm going to get there one day. I don't know if I'm there yet. And she starts going, and she's, oh, what nurse was this? So they started just talking about it. And Dad was like, oh, yeah, that little lady that took my blood. She, you know, yeah, it was a little bit, bless her heart. You know, she was so sweet, you know. And I'm like, Dad, you are amazing. One of these days. You know, but that's the thing is about Dad is that he is always, I can talk about him, but he's not here. So he is, it doesn't matter where he goes. It doesn't matter where he's at. He is Chatty McChat face with everybody. He loves loving on people. It's like he doesn't know a stranger. It's like Miss Cherry going back there. She don't know no stranger. You know, she gives everybody a hug. It don't matter. And if you don't, she's going to pop them. Right? So it's about showing the love of God to our neighbors. Right? There was a story one time that a pastor shared that he was talking to, he said, is it ever okay to lie? I agreed. But he was like, there is. Okay. And he gave an illustration of it. And I don't know. The story, the illustration was, is this. He says that, you know, when you come into church and you're welcoming people into church and you've got a, say, a little older lady that is not dressed well, her hair is not done, she doesn't smell good, you could tell that she just has not, just not able to put things together. And you go there and you say, oh, you are so beautiful today. And he's like, oh, that's a lie. That's a lie, you know. And it, he said, but loving my neighbor trumps that. And I'm like, and so I was questioning that. And so anyways, I had presented this discussion. It's a great way to discuss the love of the Lord, loving our neighbors. And I had a gentleman, a little Bible study. I was talking to him about it. We're discussing it. And I brought out this illustration. And he said, you know, I don't think it's about the lying. I think it's a heart issue. If you have to feel like you're lying, it's a heart issue. And I was like, oh, that is so true. And here's, let me explain this to you. Because see, someone that truly loves their neighbor isn't looking at an appearance issue. They're just excited that they're in here. You are so beautiful today. I see your joy coming in. I see your heart, and it's so wonderful to see you. That's truth. Amen, right? Because you're seeing past that surface thing. And that's where we all have to be at in life on our daily basis. Because we come across people that need Jesus. They're not, and they don't act like they have Jesus, because they don't. They're acting in the world. And they come at us, and they curse at us, and they'll say things at us. Because they don't have Jesus. And as a believer, to love our neighbor is to acknowledge, man, that person needs Jesus. I need to react in love. I need to react because I want this person to know that Jesus is inside of me. I want to react right. That's what you call loving your neighbor. Amen. It's the same concept when we go out to eat, when we get bad services, at a waiter or waitresses. I talk about this all the time. You don't know what's going on in their life. I've got horrible service. And I will tell Amber, I'll have a conversation. I said, I know we're supposed to love, but this is challenging right now. It's being real. Because sometimes you just get bad service. But you don't know what's going on with that person's life. You don't know the struggle that there's. You don't know that if you actually pay attention versus stop, you know, start looking at your own selfish self, you actually look around and may see that they're understaffed. And that person's struggling just to keep up. Right? Come on. Maybe there's a problem in the kitchen. I was out one time where it was a big restaurant and we had a big group. And man, it was awful service. People were getting up. People were getting angry. People were leaving, cussing. I mean, it was bad. And you see the waiters, waitresses, they were all distraught. Manager was over there in almost in tears. We finally got our food. We kind of ate quickly. We got it. We paid our tickets. And I went over there to the little lady. And I said, y'all having a bad night, ain't you? She goes, yeah, it's real bad. She goes, I said, I understand. Let me pray with you. I prayed with them. It's about loving our neighbors. That's what the Word of God tells us to do, is love our neighbors. And my prayer, and my push for you is ask God, God, increase my love capacity. I want to be able to love even more than I do now. So when we're going out, think about that. Next time we see somebody, next time something happens to you, somebody cuts you off or does something bad to you, you answer the phone, somebody's cussing at you. God, I want to love this person. Show me how. Show me how to love this person. Amen. But see, the thing is when we're acknowledging in that first one of how much God loves us and we're building that love relationship with the Lord, man, that second one just falls into place. It really does. Amen. Final thing is this, is the third one. And this one is a difficult one for a lot of people. I've come across a lot of people with this. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. That's a hard one sometimes. And what I mean by that is because each one of us in this room have messed up. And we've fallen short. And we're our worst critics, aren't we? So, if we don't love this, how can we truly love our neighbors? You talk about, see, a lot of times when you're in a situation and you're facing an argument situation, and you feel, man, this person, they're angry. So many times I've found it to be that there's bitterness inside them. And there's unforgiveness in them. And so many times it's the fact that they haven't forgiven themselves. Amen. It's hard. But I want to talk about this first, too, before I really dive into that forgiveness part. Is you really understanding that God created you perfect. He created you amazing. He created you beautiful. Wonderful. He didn't make a mistake. It doesn't matter how your appearance is. He loves you. You are perfect. Young people, I want you to hear me on something this morning. I want you to hear me on this. When I was a young person, as a teenager, I saw this funny clip about a comedian. I was really self-conscious. I was a big kid, always been big. And I was really self-conscious about the way I looked. I was upset. I was like, because I'm overweight. My girls don't like me. All right. And I saw something. I saw a comedian thing one time where he got in front of the mirror and said, it was like, you're good. And people like you. Gosh darn it, you're good. You're good enough. You know, and I'm like, that was the stupidest thing. But you know what the Word of God tells us to do? But here's what the Word of God tells us to do. How our mouths steer this ship. So guess what happened when I did this? I said, you know what? That was dumb, but you know what? I'm going to try it. Looked in the mirror and I said, Brandon, God created you perfect. You are fine. Girls like you. I promise you, no joke, no kidding. When I begin to speak over my life and how God created me perfect, how God created me beautiful, how God created me handsome just the way I was, how He created my metabolism to be a little slow and really liking Bluebell. I didn't care. My confidence level went through the roof. I promise, it's no joke, I promise you. Like before, I was like, I'm not ever going to go swimming without my shirt on. Dude, when I started saying that, speaking over my life, I was like, I don't care. Take my shirt off and go swimming. I'm just being real with you. I'm always real with you, okay? That's how I got my wife, man. She's way out of my league, okay? But confidence, come on! But when you really begin to say, thank you, Lord, for the way you created me, and the wrinkles, the bald head. The Lord blessed Galen with more hair than a whole lot of hair. And me, well, he felt like I didn't need as much, I guess. It's okay. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. And you, when you do this, you talk about being able to walk around in confidence and being able to really go out and do what God's called you to do. You'll be able to walk around with your head up. Amen. Amen. Listen, I have messed up so many messages. I have flubbed up so many times. I have stumbled around so many messages. But I'm like, Lord, I don't care. You created me to do this. You created me beautiful. You created me wonderful. I'm a chosen generation. I'm going to go and do what you called me to do. I'm going to go and speak who you've told me to speak to. I don't care if I stumble around and kind of fumble around when I go talk to them. I'm going to do it because you created me wonderful. You didn't make a mistake. Amen. Amen. You talk about an assurance. Lord, thank you for that confidence because you created me wonderful. Amen. And then we go into that forgiveness thing. Because you know what? Look around. Everybody look around. You, everyone in this room has had issues, had circumstances, has had failures in their lives. Every one of us. Guess what? That was a finished thing on the cross. It was complete. God said, it is finished. Romans 8:1 says, for there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So what that tells me is that I have the authority, I have the freedom to go and do what he's called me to do because I'm forgiven. I've got grace on my side. Come on, I'm telling you, I have met so many people where they're dealing with unforgiveness in their lives that they can't get past their failures. Trust me, I've made some stupid mistakes, but I know God's forgiven me. I got grace. Come on, amen. It's why I can run the race that God set before me. It's why I can do it because I know God's forgiven me. Amen. Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. You've got to understand when you look in the mirror that you're God's chosen generation. That you, Bob, are royalty. That, Bob, you're not a mistake. I've preached that so many times because it's so important that we get it. Okay, so as you get older, yeah, you get gray hair. Yeah, you start getting some wrinkles. Yes, and things start happening. You get a little more aches and pains. That's part of, you know what, God, thank you that I can wake up today. And I thank you for this hair that I really don't know what to do with. Thank you for, you know, what you're doing. Lord, I know I'm a little overweight, but God, I'm just going to worship you. I need to work on this thing, all right? Help me with that, but I want to run the race that you've called me to do. Amen. When you start understanding how beautiful God created you, it's going to help you run the race. It's going to help you love people. You got to love yourself. Amen. And guess what it all starts? Is falling in love with him. So, man, when we fall in love with him, we discover what he says about us, how amazing we are, how he knows every hair on our head, how he made us unique, how we're a chosen people. Amen. God, increase my love capacity. Man, that's my prayer. I encourage you, let that be your prayer. Let that be your prayer to fall in love with God more every day. God, I want to know you more. I want you to be my first love. I want every aspect of my life to reflect you, God. When I open up the Word of God, I don't want to open it up trying to justify something. I want to open it up to discover. I know a lot of people, when it comes to their finances, people will open up the Bible and say, and try to justify not tithing. I've heard it many times. I don't believe in tithing, so I'm going to read the Word, and I'm going to read Scriptures and justify that I don't have to tithe. But that's the wrong way to do it. You'll never catch it. But if you open up the Word of God and say, God, I want to discover what you say about my finances, because I want to honor you with every aspect, and you realize that Jesus, that God gave, at the beginning, God gave his only son. God gave. He gave. Oh. You discover more about him, and you fall more in love with him. Church, I just encourage you more and more every day, every time I get up and speak, is fall in love with the Lord. So when you do that, everything else falls in line. God doesn't say focus on your problems. He says focus on me. Fall in love with him. How we do that, Brother Charlie? We turn the phones off, turn the TVs off, get before the Lord. Sheridan, bless her heart, she sleeps on our couch, and I'll get up in the mornings and I'll flip the light on and she'll cover up. I'll go to my chair and I'll have my coffee and I'll put my worship music on. Because I want to be with the Lord. It's my time. Find those times to get with the Lord, because I promise you when you do that, you're going to fall in love with him. When you fall more in love with him, guess what happens? You're going to fall more in love with who you are, because you're going to discover how God created you perfect. And then guess what's going to happen? You're going to be able to love your neighbor in such greater ways. and be more effective in ministry, more effective in your lives. Amen? Let's stand to our feet today. I want to pray over you this morning. My prayer is that God would increase your love capacity. I mean that you'd fall more in love with Him every day. You'd fall more in love with Him as you spend time in the Word. That you discover more about what He says about you. And that way you can actually love even more people in greater, greater ways. Because that's where we change lives. That's where souls are saved. That's where we step out of our comfort zone and do actually what God's called us to do and run the race that He's set before us. Amen? Everyone in this room, please hear me. You're called to ministry. When you give your life to Christ, you become a minister of the gospel. And now it's your responsibility to go out and share that what Jesus did for you. It doesn't matter if you're a week old Christian, a 10-year Christian, 20-year Christian. We're all called to do the very, very same thing. It's to share the love of Christ. Share what He did for you. How He forgave you. How what He did on the cross for each one of you. This is not the mission field. Out there is the mission field. And each one of us, every single day, we run into people's lives. If we grab a hold of those three things this morning, we fall in love with God more. We love our neighbor. We love who God created. I promise you, you're going to see some major things happen in your life. You're going to see influence. You're going to see your love for people, your compassion for people change, increase. Your love enabled to handle stressful situations, handle people arguing with it, handle if your customer service, handling those people that are angry, and just deal with it with a smile. So the more we fall in love with the Lord, man, He shows us all those things and how to do all that. God, increase my love capacity, because I want to love You more every day. Father, I thank You so much for today. And I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for what You've done in this place. Lord, I pray everyone in this room, everybody watching online, God, that You would increase our love capacity, our ability to go deeper, to fall in love with who You are, God, in a deeper, more intimate way daily, God. As we read Your Word, as we pray, as we lift You up and with every aspect of our lives, God, that we want to fall in more in love with You, God. Because when we fall more in love with You, God, we discover what You say about us. It gives us that confidence to go and do in loving others. How You forgave us. We want to share that testimony, Lord, because You forgave us. We want to run that race that You've set before us, Lord. We thank You for it, God. We thank You for what You've done in this place. Thank You for working and healing our pastor in this last week. Thank You for being with him. Thank You for keeping him safe, God. We lift him up to You right now as his healing continues. We lift up Pastor Bayes as he continues to heal from his accident. Continue to lift up other pastors. Lord, I thank You for the calling that You've put on their lives. Thank You, they're running the race. But God, I pray that as New Life Ministries, Lord, that we run the race that You've set before us, God. That we're not ashamed. That we run with confidence. We fall more in love with You, Lord. Increase our love capacity. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.